the Vilna Gaon, that he wants to be medaktek in a subtlety that is so minute in the pasuk, with his shita that every expression and every phrase, once there's the slightest shinui, there's no such thing as a duplication. Every phrase makes a different point. So in this pasuk of Al Toma L'Reyecha, to the Reyecha, Leich Vashuv Umocha Etein V'Yeshitach, so if a person says, come back, why do you need the L'Mocha? That's what was bothering the Vilna Gaon. Leich Vashuv is already the point. He has it in his pocket. Why don't you give it now? If you extrapolate that to mitzvahs, if you could do it now, why are you postponing it? Al Toimel G'shefne Eshne. So what is Ulamachar? Why does it have to be Dafka tomorrow? So the answer, says the Gaon, is that we're talking about two Reyim. They're two different cases. One is where the Reya comes from Merchakim, and the other one is where the Reya is next door. And that's the Lashon of the Gra, Al Toimel L'Reyacha Leich V'shuv, L'Reyacha Ha'arochik Mimcha, Leich Achshav U'Be'eis Acher Toshuv V'Etein Lecha. So in other words, in the first expression, it's Lav Dafka Mochar. It means, I can't deal with this right now. So even though you came from a distance, and obviously you're not going to be around, eventually our paths will cross, and then I'll take care of you. Masha Ein Kein, the second case, Mochar Etein V'Yeshitach, that the Mochar Etein is the second case. What is that? Hainu L'Reyacha HaKarov L'Cha, if you have it already in your pocket. So the question that I had was, why is the Gra making such an asek out of these two things? Ke'ilu, there's a diuk that they're different concepts. Because if they're the exact same thing anyhow, l'mainaf gemin, if they're two stories or one story, but both stories are the same. So Hadron Kushan Leduchte, why does the Pasuk have to have that extra expression, Machar? So obviously, according to the Gra, something different is going on in the mindset of a person who tells someone who comes from a distance, I'll do it some other time, and someone who has a neighbor next door. And I think the difference is very simple. The neighbor next door, you know, Kimat Zicher, that he's coming back. The person who comes Merch Merchakim, you don't know that he's going to come back. Because he may never have the opportunity, the paths may never cross. So what really it is a sequence that begins with the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says, "Al timna toiv mi ba'alav." That means you're not going to do it at all, even though it's b'koycha kol asais. The second one is a person is meretz merchakim. You probably won't end up doing it. The third one, you'll do it, but you'll do it tomorrow. In other words, the statistical likelihood, when we say Al Taimalik She'efna Eshna, I'll give you a very simple example. A person has an immediate agenda to learn today's Daf Yomi. A very, very simple example that happens all the time. And the shiur that he has happens to be coinciding with a chasana that he has to go to. So he now has to make up that Blat Gemara. Now a person can make up the Blat Gemara by making a decision that he'll learn two Blat tomorrow. Right? The chasna is very long. By the time he comes home, he's exhausted. It's not only reasonable, it's kemat the only thing he can do, if he must go. By the way, I want to go on record as saying that you do not have to go to every chasna that you're invited to. There are ways of expressing your connection and your affection and your affiliation without necessarily spending hours and hours and hours. And the ikar is the hergesh, and the ikar is how important you are to the person and how close you are to the chasana. It has nothing to do with the takonis. I'm not talking about from the perspective of the person that's hiring the hall and making the chasana. I mean, in terms of the guest. A lot of times we fritter away huge amounts of time. And even at the chasana itself, I'm not sure that it's appropriate to have the entire olam sitting there with gemaras in front of them. I mean, if you're going to a chasana, you're going to a chasana, you're not going to a shir. And this isn't a base medrash, this is a chasana. Aber me'idach gisa, it's very important not to waste the whole night. You know, a person does not really have that much time. I remember when I used to give a drasha to the Bar Mitzvah Bacher, and I saw that after I finished speaking, there was like a pall, a cloud descended on the Olam, because they listened to what I was saying, What I was telling them is that we really don't have that much time. And I made an arithmetic calculation of the total number of hours that a person has in his waking day if from the time of his bar mitzvah, assuming that he lives 120 years. And you know, the last years, they're not so easy. Kolzman shemaskinam daitim is yasheves means something else. But the fact of the matter is that there's niyar machuk and there's niyar, that's chadosh, that's not machuk. And there's a difference. People begin to forget, people don't have the same energy, you don't have the same acuteness of thinking, it's not the same. So how many hours do we really have? I used to make the cheshbon, and then I saw that the olam got depressed, I decided that's not right for a rav to make an olam depressed, especially in the middle of a simcha. So I stopped making the calculation, but the truth of the matter is it's not kedai to fritter away our lives, even what ostensibly appears to be chasodim. It's not like that. You don't have to spend 10 hours at a chasana. It's enough between the traveling and the time there and the time you come home. It's mamish kemat an entire night. And it's a... But that's unfortunately a hergish that a person has only later. We'll get to the Chafetz Chaim, the Shmir Saloshin, what he says here in the notes. It's so poshut. And he gives mashalim to things that you don't even imagine. What do you need a mashal for? This thing speaks for itself. But when you hear his mashal and you understand what he's trying to do to us and for us in that mashal, we'll appreciate the mashal of the Chafetz Chaim. As simple as it is. But getting back to this nekuda, there are many times that a person decides he has to learn the Daf Yomi tomorrow, two blocks. And it's a very reasonable decision, because there is no alternative. Then there's a person that comes the next day, and he realizes that he has something to take care of. So he's a blot behind, but if he doesn't listen to the Daf Yomi this day, but a Magid Shir, he's not going to understand it himself, and then I'll have to learn two blocks with the Art School Gemara, that's already getting complicated, so he leaves the blot alone. The blot that he missed... And all of a sudden, before you know it, it's 3 or 4 days later, and it's already an andazach. But the machshava was to do it tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes that happens. The same thing happens to a huge number of people with shnayim mikra ve'echot targum. That seems to be the simplest thing in the world. Every day, no matter what, right after davening, I finish till sheni, till shlishi, till revi'i. And more or less, the psukim and the parshiyos, now it's an ibayor, most of the parshiyos are shorter because they don't have the double parshiyos. Abavi is on the zayin, and by the time comes Erev Shabbos, I finish. Friday night, at least, I'm finished. Again, shnai mikra v'chotavim. So there's always something coming up, and in the morning I'm running here and I'm running there, and I thought that I would manage it, and I didn't manage it. Comes Friday night. And just when I'm about to sit down and do shnai mikra v'chotavim, guess what? The guests come and knock on the door. Or, in the middle of the second pasuk, I fall asleep over the chumash.
You got to the second pasuk?
Yeah. Pretty good. We got to the second pasuk. So what happens the next day? The next day, I decide, I have to go to shul. I have to listen. So I'm going to say one together with the Baal Kerva. What about the other one? And what about the Targum? That's in the afternoon. When I say Gaitis, what I'm trying to point out to you is, in all of these cheshbonos, the cheshbonos are valid. Things come up, people have pressures. The inyan of kviyus, I remember that Rav Shraga Feivel Paretsky, Zichrono Livracha, one of the chashuvim of our yeshiva, he used to ask the question, it says, kol ha-shoyna halachis b'chol yoy muftach loishu ben oylem abo. We say it all the time. What is shoyna halachis? Miyut rabim, how much?
Two.
Shtayim. So halachis in the plural doesn't say how many halachis. So it means more than one. So two halachis a day. He asked the question, two halachis a day? It's ben oylem abo. It doesn't seem to be such a heavy duty thing that it gives you oylem abo, ben oylem abo. The answer is learning, of course, gives you oylem abo. But something about two halachis a day. So he said, b'chol yoyim. That's the ben oylem abo. B'chol yoyim. Because the idea that I do it with a consistency that nothing can get in my way. There's certain people that will not miss tefillah b'tzibur for anything. And even if the weirdest of circumstances are such, no, I'm not missing tefillah b'tzibur. So somebody has to travel to Europe, he has to travel to Australia, he has to travel to Eretz Yisrael. He'll make his flight, even if it costs more money, so that he does not miss the tefillah b'tzibur or the kriyas haTorah, whatever it is. And another person says, "And it's Rachmana Patrei. I have to go. This is the cheaper flight. And when I get there, whatever it is, it is. So I'll daven in the lobby, I'll daven in the airport, I'll daven here, I'll daven there." It's a matter of mesiras nefesh b'chol yom. The first statement of the Gra is talking about something else entirely. That's a dechia where psychologically the person hopes that he's never going to do it again. He's not going to get to it. When a person comes to me, merchakim, doesn't have to be a person. It could be also an opportunity. There are opportunities to do mitzvahs that come, not like birchas hacham. I'm not talking about that. Adarav, interesting enough, birchas hacham, everybody latches onto. Someone who is a very cynical person, I have to admit, said, "You know why everybody's excited about birchas hacham? Because for another 20-something years, he doesn't have to worry about it at all." It's a certain, you know, kind of excitement about doing a mitzvah. You know, it's never going to come back to haunt you until years and years and years later. But the fact of the matter is, I think that they're excited about Birchas Hachama for another reason. Something that doesn't come around in such a long time, and I'm here, and I did it. You feel you're alive. But there are certain inyonim that if a person does not want to attend to it, he pushes it off with the knowledge that most likely it's not going to happen. So the Yetzahara of both is a very different kind of Yetzahara. And one is much more chomer than the other. So if you go with the mahalach that the first pasuk tells you, if you can do a taiva, why don't you do it altogether? You don't want to do the taiva. Al timna taiva mebala. The next one is, you can do the taiva, and you may do the taiva, maybe you won't do the taiva. And the third one is, you will do the taiva, but why are you postponing it till tomorrow when you can do it today? So the third one is, the person is your neighbor. He's definitely coming back. Then there's another nekuda that I always thought. There's always the idea that the person promised to teach the Tsar's dog how to speak. So he and the reward was enormous, but the punishment was also enormous. You know, if you don't manage to teach him how to speak, off with your head. Or you'll go to the gulags or whatever. So the person asked him, how could you make such a promise? So he made a cheshbon. He says, it takes a very long time to teach a dog how to speak. It's not al regalachas. So he says, either the dog will die, or the Tsar will die. I don't want to say the last thing. But in any case, the bottom line is that you have this idea that if you postpone something, it'll take care of itself. There is such a thing. Now, I just have to tell you one more thing that's been negated to this before we go weiter, because I wanted to go back to the Mogen Avos of the Tashbits that we mentioned last time, but I want to read it again. The Mogen Avos is an altoima lik she'efna eshna shema loy sipana. So he writes, Zeh nema lefi daito shel zeh hadoicha hazman lezman acher. Ki shema oise zman shechoshev sheyi apanu loy yi apanu ki yeitze loy asokim. V'nimtza sheyoitze me aloma beloy toira. V'leino roitze lotzis beloy toira. Ela sheroitze lishana is bezman acher. V'loy ol v'loy tala kavanosai. Al kein yisiroi miloy madvarim elu v'al yiftach ba'atzmoy al toyu. The first thing that he says is basically a translation of the words, and it's very straightforward. Don't always think that tomorrow is going to have less interruptions and interferences than today. What's your problem doing it now? You're busy, you're tired, you're this, you're that. Mehecha teisa that tomorrow will be better. It's a very simple thing. Because Shem Eloi Sipana, because this is a machshava shall tell you, who says it will be better tomorrow? Statistically, the truth of the matter is life is getting it. It's an amazing thing that today, the more conveniences, the more complicated our lives are. I don't know, we don't understand ourselves, it's a curse. But the easier and easier and easier it is, the busier we are and the more tired we are, mostly with making it easier. But in any case, Shem Eloi Sipana. But then, as if the Tashbits chatzakechapt bankop and said, wait a minute. He continues with the next thing that he says. What do I mean, wait a minute? Every day is its own mechayiv of limud ha-Torah. There's no such thing as postponing something unless you have to take care of that. You could do it today or you could do it tomorrow. Right? But if you have to do it every day, postponing something for tomorrow, then you're doing tomorrow's. Where did today's go? You understand? So he asked the question, Torah, you're mechuyev to learn all the time. So that's what I asked last time. I just wanted to emphasize this point. There are certain reasons why we are putter from learning. Those reasons, if they're valid, you remain the same tzaddik. Because the Torah allows you to daven and allows you to have your physical functions and allows you to sleep and so on and so forth. In fact, it compels you to do these things. And it allows you to do mitzvahs, if he efshalasas al yedei acherim, even to stop learning to do those mitzvahs, because you're the only one that can do them. And you must. So the question is, when is a person postponing, if he's allowed to sleep and mechuyev to sleep, because he needs his rest to be an Eved Hashem. If he's allowed to daven and mechuyev to daven, he's not postponing the learning. The answer is he's doing things that he doesn't have to do al pi halacha, and that he doesn't have an excuse for to refrain from learning. So then the kasha is, so where is today's learning? What are you postponing? That's why I think that the Rambam, this is what I wanted to add. We mentioned the Rambam many times. But that's why I think the Rambam took al toimuk she'efne eshne not as a today issue. In other words, I have a chance to learn this hour, and I'm not learning this hour, I'm postponing my learning of this hour to tomorrow. You can't say al toimuk she'efne eshne shema lo sipone, because the argument against postponing is not shema lo sipone. The argument against postponing is you have no right to be mevatel Torah right now. Do you understand my question? Shema lo sipana sounds like, if you could guarantee that tomorrow you would learn this, that you postponed from today, would be good. The problem is that who has such a guarantee? Maybe tomorrow you'll be busy, maybe tomorrow for whatever reason you won't be able to learn. So don't postpone it. But my kasha is, that's not the reason to learn now. The reason to learn now is not maybe you'll fail to learn tomorrow, that your postponement won't be realized in tomorrow's learning. The failure is right now, because tomorrow I have to learn because of tomorrow, and today I have to learn because of today. So what do you mean I'm not learning today? You tell me that he has an excuse. If he has an excuse, then he doesn't have to say Likshaf Nashna, because he's entitled to the excuse. So the kasha is, what's going on? So the Rambam, so I wanted to add that I didn't mention clearly. The Rambam took this out of the context of the precision of today and tomorrow. You're not talking about somebody that has a blat gemara to learn and an hour to learn it, and decides that this hour he wants to play ball. Aye, what's going to be with the learning? He'll learn tomorrow, because Mamanav Shach. If he can learn now, he has no right to play ball. If he needs the exercise desperately, by the way, how much exercise a person really needs and how desperate it is. I know people that need exercise so badly that they want to watch the whole Super Bowl. Half a Super Bowl is not enough, because there's a lot of exercise going on. And people are running around back and forth and mishvitzt and migvelt gehalget. So much exercise. You understand? But let's assume for a moment that he's entitled to the exercise, and he's doing tech exercise. He goes to the gym and he needs to exercise. His doctor's convinced him that it's good for his heart. No, then he's potter from learning. Of course, some people put up the Daf Yomi on the screen and they watch the Daf Yomi while they're pedaling the bike. Ich bin nicht azagais a chosid from them. Torah is be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, or be'ziya. And not, you know, when you're sitting there in your underwear and you're pedaling the bike, that's only be'ziya, but it's not be'ema, be'yira, be'reses. Absolutely. It's be'ziya, but it's not. That ziya does not mean zeya. Ziya means via zoo, like, you know, the shaking. Yeah, but I'm saying not with the Daf Yomi necessarily. No, I'm saying people try to chap arayin. People chap arayin. It's not so poshut, because a lot of times the chapping arayin, you know, today I watched a program, not Chas HaShom, you're not allowed to watch things, there's certain things you're not allowed to watch, but I watched a very good program, you know, what's going on in Egypt today. That's very important. So today I watched this, and tomorrow I watched the Daf Yomi, the next day I watched something else. You can't treat Torah like that. Torah is a fragile, beautiful, and very holy thing. And the way a person learns and his whole orientation towards learning is impacted severely by the way he learns. That's a very simple point. So I'm not such a big chassid of that kind of chapping around and living in all the worlds bevas achas. It doesn't work so well, because it debases the chashivas of Torah, and sometimes in a very impactful way. You know, it doesn't always kill a person that he does that, especially if he does it on rare occasion. Lamaisa, every act has its reishim and every attitude has its impression on the person. And sooner or later, it has a very negative, very deleterious effect. If you don't hold the Torah in an unbelievable Kedusha Dikka kind of way, that's why you can't leave a Sefer Torah on the table. You have to put it in an orin, in a makom chubad umafur, because the chashivas of the Torah is expressed by how you treat it physically and of course how you treat it in terms of your Seder Hayoim and in terms of your activities. But if a person is not entitled to learn Torah, I mean to do other things but to learn Torah that moment, he can't say that I'm guilty because I postponed it for tomorrow, because tomorrow I may not get to it. You're guilty right now, because you should have been learning now. Where is your learning for this hour? So Memela, the Rambam said that Al Toimuk She'ef Nash Hashem Lo Yistipon is not referring to that. Because Memon of Shach, if he's entitled to postpone, he has to postpone. If he's not entitled to postpone, he has to learn right now. It's a hashkafa. He says, a person says to himself, if I learn now, I'm not going to have a parnasa. If I learn now, I'm not going to be able to support my family. If I learn now, I mean all day and all night. If I learn now, I'm not going to be able to learn tomorrow. So I'm going to be smart. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to make myself successful. I'm going to build up a nest egg. I'm going to make myself a pension. I'm going to be able to put away enough money that I don't have to worry about myself and my family, and then I'll be able to learn b'menucha. So the Ram... No, seriously. So the Rambam says, al toim alik she'poneh. It means that whole hashkafas olam of retiring. That's what the Rambam is talking about. And that's Shem Eloi Sipon. And the Shem Eloi Sipon of the Rambam has a lot to do with other things as well. First of all, who says you'll stop? Misha Yesh Loi Mona Roitzim Asayin. Number one. Number two, who says that tomorrow you'll be strong enough or healthy enough? Everybody should be well. Number three, who says that you're not going to change your Hashkofa Soila in the process of all of that activity without the centrality of Torah in your life? Because what happens is that a person is confident in his hashkafa, not realizing that the confidence is misplaced. Because in Pasveini Yoimim Yoimayim Ezveka doesn't just refer to the Blat Gemara, it refers to the hashkafa Soilim that's behind the Blat Gemara. And the environment that a person is in inevitably has its influence and impact. And sooner or later, the person changes. And I'll tell you, a very pashtazach, there's so many girls that come out of the Beis Yaakov, and you could say that they're brainwashed if you are antagonistic to this Hashkofa Soilim. I don't think so, of course, because I'm not antagonistic to Hashkofa Soilim. I believe that that's the tachlis of a person. So they come out thinking that all they want in life is to be able to be the wife of a big Ben Torah, a big Talmud Chacham, a big Tzaddik, a big Yirei Shamayim, and whatever it takes, they'll be there to help him as an Ezer Kenegdoi. This is a very fundamental Beis Yaakov Hashkofa. It's a Hashkofa Satira, and it's definitely antithetic to rove of the Hashkofas that are rampant in the street, for a number of reasons, obviously. First of all, the Olam Hazeh Gashmias, and secondly, that you have to fulfill yourself. What are you busy being the ancillary of somebody else? What are you the Ezer when you can be yourself? That is a very rampant Machshava today, which is the foundation of most feminism. So therefore, in the Beis Yaakov, and right after the Beis Yaakov, and she goes to seminary, and she's ready for a shidduch. 5 years later, all of a sudden, you hear it's a different song. How come? Because she's not a teacher in a Beis Yaakov. She went out to work. And all of a sudden, everything changes. It doesn't change overnight. It's a little bit the pressure that she's not finding the shidduchim right away. And it's a little bit the pressure in the place of work. And the pressure in the place of work is extremely subtle, but just therefore maybe more negative. I have to tell you a simple maisa that my Rebbetzin told me, who is a menahelis of a Beis Yaakov. So there was a teacher in the Beis Yaakov that left for the best reasons in the world. She wanted to be able to support her husband to sit and learn. She's expecting to marry such a Talmud Chacham. And she wants to make a little bit more money than a Beis Yaakov provides. Beis Yaakovs don't pay their teachers as much as Bear Stearns. Not today. Today Bear Stearns doesn't pay very well, but as much as they used to pay. But it's interesting how the world works. But in any case, so she went out into the business world, very capable, talented young lady, even without the education, everything. They took her. A few months later, she calls up. She wants to know if she could still have her job back in the Beis Yaakov. So the Rebbetzin asks her, what changed in your hashkafa? So she says, I'll tell you what happened. The first time somebody said something a little risque to me, a man approached her and said something nishtadel. She was red as a beet and she thought she's going to die. The second time, she also turned red, but she didn't think she was going to die. The third time she didn't turn red, the fourth time she called the Rebbe. Because she saw the deterioration of that resolve, of that intense and absolute commitment to Hashkafas HaTorah. And Azayi does. We are only human. And that is why the Al Toimuk She'efna Eshna Shemaloi Sipon is such a danger in the Hashkafas Olam of not manana, tomorrow, meaning Zayin Ador and Ches Ador and Tes Ador and Yud Aleph Ador. It means manana, eventually, because everything will work out as my plan, but nobody understands that that is a treifa hashkofa which was never going to be mamali peiris. I don't know of anybody that had such a hasoga that became a Talmud Chacham. The people become Talmidei Chachamim are on fire with Torah and they have to do it today. There's no such thing as I'll make a plan and a cheshbon. Hagam, that plans and cheshbon sound very legitimate. You know, you can't be hefker. But there's something about learning Torah that doesn't allow you to get too precise. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. But ich muss lernen. That's all I need. So that's what the second part of the Tashbitz is saying. L'fiya emes. Afilu yifna oysa shah sheyitza lishnois. Ein lo yutchos oysa shah. Even if he manages tomorrow to learn that daf. But what about this hour that you missed, if it's not legitimate? She'ef sheloi lishnois. Va'afim yishna b'shah acheres. Ein lo levatul shah zu. Sharei b'chol shah achayiv lishnois. V'lasos teiros hakeva. V'al zeh dorshu b'midrash mishlei. Al toma l'reach aleich v'shuv. So this is the second part of what I wanted to talk about today. Reyacha refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't tell the Ribbono Shel Olam tomorrow. You know, people have this tendency, they go off to Florida for a vacation. There's a little bit of that statement, Ribbono Shel Olam, come back tomorrow. Now, I have to relax a little bit. Summertime, Ribbono Shel Olam, come back tomorrow. Leich v'shuv u'mocher etein. And I have to point out that the V'yesh Itcha is a very gewaldike yesod. People have a tendency to minimize their koiches hanefesh. I believe that it's a combination of laziness and the sitra achra, the satan. The satan does not want you to go the extra mile because who knows what you'll be able to accomplish. I remember many, many times people try to read Shidduchim. Shidduchim is a misery in general. But Shidduchim is a misery to read. It really is. If you are slightly successful and they start going out, then this one tzad says like this and the other tzad says like that and all of a sudden you're in the middle. And ma'ali ulitzara azos, you think to yourself. So most people, and also what is it? You could read 50 Shidduchim and not successful. Nobody is in Shadchanus except professional Shadchanim for the money. But afal pi kein, you want some sort of recognition. But the recognition only comes when the shidduch is clinched, when it's for real. As if to say that all the greasing of the wheels and all of the talking and all of the involvement until you get them to go out and then keeping them going and answering their questions and worrying about all the negatives that they bring up and pointing out that they're not negatives, they may even be positives, and then worrying about how many years of support, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, and how much support, $1,000 a month, $1,800 a month, $1,500 a month, and I say, I'm a kentach meshugavel. What do I need it for? So the teretz is, because it's the biggest mitzvah you can do. You know, there's certain things that the answer to them is not some particular nekuda. It's simply, what do you mean? That's the answer. Like, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? So the guest is achen devel. You hatzolah. Somebody asks, what's the point of hatzolah? Somebody asks, what's the point of hatzolah? Anybody ask, what's the point of having hatzolah? What's the point of reading shidduchim? Are you kidding? So what about all of this? So the Satan says, I'm going to whisper into the ear of a potential, not a shatchan, but somebody who's about to read a shidduch. Don't get involved. Look what happened in this case. Look what happened in that case. Remember the last time you started reading a shidduch and you got the door slammed in your face? Remember the last time they stopped talking to you for 3 months? Remember the last time that you clinched a shidduch, they brought you a vase that they bought in Woolworths? And there's no Woolworths anymore. You remember that time? What does the person say? I can't get involved. It's just not for me. It's not for me. You know, you need a certain kind of person. And I'm not that kind of a person. Finally, the pressure is on and the person calls you 25 times. Okay, I'll do it. And I told you once, you call up, the line is busy. The simcha in that person's heart, that the line was busy, you have no idea. They call back, I couldn't get through. You couldn't get through. try to convince this person. Somebody told you that if you call up this number, you're gonna get $1,000. But doesn't always answer right away. The teretz is, we really want to do the right thing. The emes, the heart inside of us, is poyim with the neshama pushes and the yetzer tov pushes. We really want to do the right thing. But the satan has such an unbelievable koyach, and he works with the worst and most banal, not even harmful, the most banal of our instincts, laziness, not wanting to be involved, not wanting to be pressured. Narishkeit. What do you mean you don't want to be involved? Das ist doch die ganze Sache, to be involved. That's chesed. Chesed is when it starts to hurt. And the truth of the matter is, you have to know a yisoid ha yisoidus. Yisurim are memarkim avaynois of shalot. And there's two kinds of yisurim. There are yisurim that a person really suffers, rachmano litzlan, and nobody wants that. And the Rebbeinu Shalom said a meirid dikizach. I am a baal chesed, says the Eibishter. I'm a rachum v'chanun and an erech apayim and a rav chesed. And I am willing to mitigate. I'm willing to accept, like in bankruptcy, yeah, 50 cents on the dollar. I'm willing to accept 5 cents on the dollar. So I'm going to accept the yisurim of people being upset, people being nervous, people being yelled at. It's not harmful. It doesn't last for long. You have a few moments of unpleasantness in the fort vital. It's not Rachmana Litzlon Amaklon, it's not a Tzara, and it's not off the Derek. It's nothing. It's misery. Misery for the moment. You call up and you get the door slammed in your face. The person says, "What are you calling me with this shidduch? Are you crazy? I thought you were my friend. You're giving me this person?" And then they start telling you what's wrong with that person. So what do you feel? You feel like you feel miserable. You feel like proverbial like a dog. You have Yisurim. There used to be a guy by Tzedakah in Yerushalayim. I can't remember his name. B'shem Eifel. But he was the biggest guy by Tzedakah in Yerushalayim. People from all over, Rabbi Yosef Binyamin Rubin. People, Zichrono Livracha, yes? Yeah, so that's the one. Anyhow, people used to give him massive amounts of money. I'm talking about people who made their gemachs, their loan gemachs from England and from South Africa and from America and versteht sich from Eretz Yisrael. And he ended up with huge amounts of money, which was his responsibility to disseminate. He spent his entire life doing it, and his honesty and his integrity was so impeccable that everybody trusted him. Mam, take my money and give it out. He came once to his Rebbe and he says, I can suffer everything. I can suffer the cold, I can suffer the heat. I can suffer spending Yom Valayla making cheshbonos. I can suffer worrying about who to give and how to give. But when I give to a family and then they come back to me and they say, "You Russia, you wrote Sayach, you gave the other one so much and you didn't give us enough. Or why aren't you giving for this? Or why aren't you giving him?" And on and on. And they heap upon me bizei bizyonis, curses. He says, "I can't handle it." So his Rebbe said to him, "Listen, if somebody says Yashikayach, if somebody gives you a kiss, ignore it. If somebody curses you, wrap it up and keep it close to your heart, because it's the best thing that ever happened." It's Neira volume. So what's the pshat? Because it's not anything but a bunch of Narisha words. And you get a little agmas nefesh, and you get a little nervin, and you get a little frustrated. And that is Yisurim Memarkim Avinois of Shalodom. It gives you Gan Eden Poshet. And not only that, Lefum Tzara Agra. It's very nice. Somebody gives me money, and I go over to a person, I say, "Here, Yankel, here's money to make a chasana." And Yankel gives you such a hug and such a kiss. I got money from Reuven, and I gave it to Shimon. Avada, Gabet Stok is a very big thing. Oh, but now, I'm miserable. He comes back to me, says, "You give me $10,000, who can make a chasana for $10,000, Bizman Hazeh?" You give a person $10,000, he has kindness to you. So you eat your kishkis out. Lefum tzara agra. The same thing with shidduchim. It doesn't make a difference. Avada givis, you'll ask any shatchan, even the successful ones, and even the ones that charge big bucks, and even charge for introductions, even if it doesn't work out. Abulamaisa, human relations is fraught with that danger of bizei bizyonis, of curses, of klolos, of maises and chazdas. It makes no difference who you are. And avada, if you're doing it as a friend, you expect, or as a karev. You know the old word, the old joke that is in almost every culture. Why are you upset with me? I'm not your karev, I'm not your shochan, and I didn't do you a taiva. Now the word. So why are you upset with me? Why are you angry at me? I didn't do you a taiva. So Lamai said, this is human nature. When Aaron HaKohen came back to in the parsha, we're coming to this parsha of Kisisa. He comes back and he says, "Ati yadata samazah keep a roll." So what's he saying? The people are not beseder. Moshe Rabbeinu knows they're not beseder. They just made an egel. Of course they're not beseder. He said, "This is the Eibishter's people." Behemam chavanach losecha. Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and says to the Rabbanu Shlalom, because he hears the berol. That's it. That's who you have to deal with. You call up and you have to expect bizyonis. And you have to read the shidduch. You must read the shidduch. It's nefashis. It's hatzolah. Everybody can become a hatzolah on his telephone. You don't have to go out in an ambulance to be a hatzolah. A person has to understand that. And you know what it means when a person sits by the telephone and nobody calls. Nobody ever calls. And all of a sudden somebody says, "I have a shidduch for you." It says, "Albert tzach, albert nisht." All of a sudden the heart begins to pump again. And the geisis comes back to life. Yeah, that's the way it is. And if a person shows an interest bechlal, you don't know what it means. Achlat sara yivale. A person has that hergish, and that's why telling a person tomorrow is such a bitter zach, because in the end it says you're in a matzav, and really nobody's going to help you. And when a person hears those words, even if they're not intended, and even if they were never spoken, but they hear the words implicit. And everybody's hard on themselves always comes down hard and it tightens up always in a negative way. That's human nature. When I'm in a bad matzav, I think everybody's out to get me. You develop a paranoia. So the person is feeling so low and so depressed. The person says, "I'm getting off the phone and I'm calling them right now. And I'm not going to stop until I get through. Oh, you just gave me life." That is the way it is. I'm not telling you any chedushim. So that's the nekuda of Yom Mochar. So the nature of the satan, as I said at the beginning, is to convince you that you're not capable. Not capable of learning, not capable of chesed, not capable of avodas Hashem, not capable of davening properly. That is the beginning of the satan's arsenal, and it's so successful. And we have no idea who we really are and who we are capable of being. You know, Chazal tell us in Masechus Sukkah, and I have a corollary to that of my own. Chazal say that Lasid Lava, Kodesh Baruch Hu showed the tzaddikim that the Eitz Hara was a agod. The Rishoyim in the corollary is that Lasid Lava, Kodesh Baruch Hu show a person who he was, and if the person was that person, taka, it's gewalt. But if the pipsqueak that he thought he was turns out to be a giant, and it never happened because he didn't rise to the occasion, the agmas nefesh of that neshama will be neira v'ayim. We have tremendous, tremendous capacity to do unbelievably great things. And a person has to know that he has that capacity. And it's not something that has anything to do with gaiva. It's the opposite of gaiva, actually. The opposite of gaiva. I just wanted to finish with the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim, the Shmiras Haloshen, you know, like it's interesting what's in that sefer. but the Chafetz Chaim speaks about the zrizus of a person to do mitzvahs now, to go to the avodas Hashem with an alacrity, with an enthusiasm. So the Chafetz Chaim has a mashal, and the point of the Chafetz Chaim's mashal is meiridik. Young people think in every area of endeavor that they have a whole lifetime. That's why I started talking to the Bar Mitzvah Bochim that way until I saw that everybody got upset. So I stopped. But the emes, when you think about it, it's punk faket. Now, hayoim la'asaisim doesn't just mean in oylem hazeh. It means today, this minute. You know, it's always true that if you do something, it's done. And if you don't do it, it's not done. It's as simple as that. So the Chafetz Chaim has a moshel. He has a meiridik azach. V'amarti moshel nimrutz al zeb. Ish echad b'shvil rava niyusay ozav moiladatoy lodud be'eretz rechoika. Africa v'chadoim. A person wandered to a faraway place because his family was desperate and he needed to make parnosa. V'hoya sham eza asara shanim. He was there for several decades. V'hoya atzlon gadol b'tivoy. He was very lazy by his very nature. Somebody in Africa says, "Oh, Yankel, what are you doing here?" When he finds out that he's here to make money, to support his family, the kasha is, "So why aren't you doing it?" So he answers him, Matis Pali Alai, I Yeshli Shuhus, have plenty of time. Kimiyan Basi Lapoi, how you are dying Rak Asim Shona, I'm only here 20 years. So it's interesting. Chabz Chaim has a sense of humor. He says, I'm only here 20 years, I got plenty of time. Payan Reyu Bayoim Ahim Chasar Deya Ata. Are you crazy? Even if you belonged here and you're a citizen of this country, it would be absurd for you to do absolutely nothing. He came here just to make a couple of dollars and to go home. You should have tried your hand at everything. Just make some money and go home already. It's a pasuk in Tilim Lamites, Ger Anoichi Imcha Toishav. Why is the neshama here all together? To collect, to amalgamate Torah and mitzvahs. It's you cannot do mitzvahs in shamayim. He has only a limited amount of time. It's amazing, and he quotes the pasuk. There's time to do Torah and mitzvahs. I'm a youngster. So I was thinking to myself. Some of the Mishalim of the Chafetz Chaim are almost, you know, they're on the level of a Dubna Mat. This Mashal, I mean, a child could make up this Mashal. It's not even a Mashal, it's basically saying the same thing. But the Chafetz Chaim was telling us that sometimes the simplest points are the hardest to learn. The most obvious lessons are so not shy because the Satan is there making trouble, Yoimim Valayla. And the Satan says, do it tomorrow. Do it next week. Do it next year. As long as one thing is not happening, you're not doing it now. And that's the Yesaida Yesaidis. A person has to realize, says the Chafetz Chaim, that every minute is an opportunity, and every minute lost is a forever lost opportunity. So whatever it is that we are doing, it's a Meiridike Yesaida Yesaidis in Yiddishkeit. And how is it that we call the Ribbono Shel Olam Areya? Isn't that a little bit too intimate? Because a reya is an equal. So where do we have the right to suggest that reyacha refers to Hashem? Is Be'emes, there's a very, very famous and important Rashi. And Rashi in Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, you have the famous, famous story that he came to Hillel and he asked, Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas. And Hillel said to him, there's a Yesoi, the Pasuk says, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. Ma di aloch soni, l'chavruch loy savid. What you wouldn't want, don't do it to your friend. That's the Yesoi of Kol HaTorah Kula. And the rest, Pirusha Zilgamar. Idach Pirusha Zilgamar. Says Rashi. Now, somebody would ask you, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha is the Yesoi of the Torah, and that's the Iker. That's the fundamental foundation principle. And if you learn that, I can teach you that al regel achas, and the rest is commentary. How would we take that to understand? So Rashi says, because so many mitzvahs of the Torah are bein adam l'chaveiro. So if you found an understanding, if you comprehend this yesod of ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, madaloch soni l'chavruch le'savit, you know, he says it in the negative. What you don't want to happen to you, don't do it to others. So then you have the foundation of a great deal of the Torah. And Rashi, in fact, says that. But that is his pirush number two. Isn't that amazing? Most of the time, when Rashi brings several pirushim, he brings the first one, that's the main chat. What is his pirush number one? The Ahavta L'Reyacha refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you love yourself. And Madaloch Sonny, just like you wouldn't want to be disappointed, you wouldn't want to be hurt, you wouldn't want somebody to take things away from you, don't do that to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because V'Ahavta L'Reyacha Kamoicha. That is Rashi's first pshat. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Which pasuk? Re'acha v're'a avicha. Pasuk in Mishlei, Chav Zayin, pasuk Yud. Rashi here is on Mishlei, corroborating what he said in that sugya of Hillel in Masechet Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenikra Re'ya LeYisrael V'Re'ya Avicha, and he's also the Re'ya of your ancestors Shechibei V'Savoisecha Al Tazoy Imazavta Yavoy Alecha Puranius. So Re'yacha V'Re'ya Avicha is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that a Klal Yisrael or any Jew can think in terms of Re'ya when he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an unbelievable badge of honor. It's an unbelievable accolade to Klal Yisrael. But at the same time, it creates a very peculiar mechayev. A slave has to do what he has to do. But the hageshim of the slave become irrelevant. He's just going to get punished, and he knows if he doesn't do the right thing, watch out. Re'acha, everything is pumping from, of course I'll do it. Of course I want to do it. Of course I must do it. Because Re'acha, ma da'aloch soni l'chavruch lo'savit. That we have this connection to the Ein Sof, that we can have such a hergesh, is mind-boggling. But the implications of it, of course, are obvious. So that's what gives the Mefarshim the right to say that in our pasuk, in Perek Gimel, you don't tell Re'acha, leich v'shuv u'mochar etek. You don't tell your Re'ya, come back tomorrow, manana. It's hayoy. And now, and with the koichus that a person has, and not with the frailties that he imagines, or the postponements of a lazy personality. Because that's not how you treat a Re'ya, which is HaKadosh Baruch. We should be zoicha to follow these implications there, Dvarim Ha'imdim Berumay Shalaylam, and Bezes Hashem. We should be zoicha to be as Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehegav Yomeinu.